I'd like to spend a few minutes reflecting on what Paul says to Titus about good works. And I think of verses or passages to do with good works, then Titus doesn't immediately spring to mind. I think of things like Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Or 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then there's James chapter 2, of course, where there is where he talks at length about faith and good works, and sums it up in verse 26, when he says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. And what didn't immediately spring to mind is Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, which we're going to be looking at tomorrow night. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Well, I'd just like to read some of the verses that we find in Titus concerning good works. You can follow it if you like. We have chapter 1 and verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. And then chapter 2, verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Same chapter, chapter 2, verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarrelling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. And then finally, chapter 3 and verse 14, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Well, Paul's letter to Titus is quite a little gem of three short chapters. But in these three short chapters, he really emphasises the important need for God's people to know what is true for them in Christ, and then to respond appropriately by living a life of faith, faith-fueled obedience. In those verses I've just read, there are in particular four exhortations to good works. The first one was chapter 2 and verse 7, which is specifically to Titus, but which may be applied to more generally to church leaders, that of being a model of good works. But the other three exhortations toward a life of good works clearly apply to all believers. So we are to be zealous for good works in chapter 2 and verse 14, ready for good works, chapter 3 and verse 1, and then devoted to good works in chapter 3 verse 8 and again in verse 14. But why? Why are we thus exhorted to good works? Well, the answer is really the crux of the whole book, which we find in chapter 2 and verses 11 to 14, where Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." So we are exhorted to good works, firstly because of the past, because of what Christ has done, because of the salvation that he has bought for us. But then secondly, because of the hope that we have for the future. We're not trying to be self-controlled because we want to better ourselves or to earn any merit with the Lord. Paul is, however, writing to Christians, those who have been rescued. We have personally experienced the grace of God that brings salvation. Our status has changed, and that same grace teaches us to be self-controlled. Specifically, it teaches us to be self-controlled now, in the present age, because of what is to come. Paul reminds us that our Saviour, Jesus Christ, has promised to return. This life is not all that there is. We have a certain hope that one day we will live renewed lives in the presence of our Lord. And in that time there will be no more sin, no more tears, and no more distractions from a perfect knowledge of Jesus. And that future is certain. It is guaranteed by Jesus' death on the cross in our place, by his resurrection, and by his ascension to the Father, and by his giving of the Holy Spirit to live in us. So Paul wants to encourage us to live now in light of that future hope, because one day we will be single-minded in our worship of Jesus, and we should make every effort now to focus our desires on him and on living lives that please him. And there's another reason why Paul thinks that we should live self-controlled lives of good works. We are ambassadors for Christ and the Christian faith. Other people will see the way that we live, and they'll make a judgment about us and about how much we value Christ and about whether it's really worth living for Christ. In verse 5 of chapter 2, Paul tells the young women that they need to live self-controlled and family-loving lives so that no one will malign the word of God. And Titus is warned in verse 7 to teach with integrity so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And in verse 10, slaves are told that by obeying their masters in every way, they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. And this is important because the day of Christ's return won't be a day of celebration for everyone. Jesus himself said that when he comes in glory, those who don't know him will be condemned to eternal punishment. It will be too late then for those who don't know Jesus. But it's not too late yet. And as Paul wrote in verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We must take care that our behaviour shows people what good news that is. So then, let's all of us resolve to encourage one another in living self-controlled and godly lives as we remember the future appearing of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ.